This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with actress Catherine Curtin of Orange is the New Black in just a moment. Meanwhile, John Stamos was busted for DUI. Stamos was arrested on charges of driving under the influence in Beverly Hills last Friday night. Police say they received calls about an erratic driver and caught up with his car. They stopped Stamos in his Mercedes. According to TMZ, the cops took the 51-year-old straight to the hospital because he seemed so out of it. Nobody else was in the car. John didn't comment on the DUI charges, but did tweet on Saturday that he'd been released from custody and the hospital. He wrote, "Thanks to everyone for their love and support. I'm home and well. Very appreciative of the Beverly Hills Police and Cedars Hospital for their care." Catherine Kate Curtin is one of the great ensemble cast members of the Netflix hit Orange is the New Black.
Yo, 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 Westchester. I love you.
Well, it's good to have you on.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So this new season of Orange is the New Black, quite exciting. Tell us about your role. You play a correction officer, right?
Yep. CO Wanda Bell. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a really fascinating journey into, you know, what's going on in Litchfield Prison and talking about prisons in the United States, that dialogue, where we are with that, what it means to incarcerate and be incarcerated, and the people surrounding that storyline, and putting a real human face to it and giving these people souls and letting us in, you know, on who, what's happening, you know. So, yeah, it's an amazing, amazing, amazing show to be a part of. I'm very grateful.
Now, did you do any research when you got hired to find out what it's like to be a CO?
You know, I did not actually. I'm a native New Yorker, and I love the cops. I deeply love the cops. I don't know. I could have been a cop. I really could have been a good cop. Or a taxi driver. I don't know, one or the other. But then that would have been that road rage thing. But anyway, so you know, I watched the cops a lot in New York. I'm so proud of them. And I didn't do much research as a CO, but that was kind of my sense of it from them, from just, you know, seeing cop action on the streets. But I'm a huge watcher of the reality TV shows on prisons. And how they, you know, there's some really amazing shows that are going inside of prisons, and we're getting a chance to see and learn about and get a feel for what's happening in those institutions. The fact that it's so multi-generational, you know, there was one show on a maximum security prison down south, and they interviewed the grandfather who was in, and his son, and then the grandson, all of whom were in prison, in the same prison. And that's where you just have to stop and go, wow, well, okay, we got to think about this. And so, you know, I kind of, it's always been, I guess, feeling trapped, being trapped, the idea that you could have a second chance at life, the idea of awakening. The idea, those are all ideas that I've always sort of been fascinated by and wanted to visit, you know, from a philosophical point of view, from an intellectual point of view. I think where we're going as a first world nation with our prisons is a dialogue that I believe most of the nation wants to engage in. And, you know, we incarcerate more people here than any other first world nation. Certainly more women are incarcerated than any other first world nation. Beyond the expense to society with your tax dollars, one wonders, with the recidivism rate, is there a better way to handle the situation for all of us? And is this the most effective way to use all of our raw resources, our natural resources, the talent that is in these human beings, some of whom have made terrible, terrible mistakes and are in prison paying for those mistakes, but are not necessarily, that's not the only thing they can do in their life. They could do other things that would be very beneficial to our society were they given the chance. And I think that's what organizations like the Women's Prison Association is proving, the DOE Fund is proving. There's a lot of people out there that are talking about where we're going as a society, that that turns this around. And I'm so proud of Orange is the New Black for raising that conversation, and I'm so humbled to be a part of it.
Wow, we're talking with actress Catherine Curtin, Orange is the New Black. Now, it says here you're the tough prison correction officer. Do you describe that character the same way?
Yeah, baby, I am tough. I'm tough, 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 tough. Yeah, I guess she is pretty tough. I don't know. I think if you're a cop, or I think if you're a corrections officer, I think if there's a side of you that is not tough, I think, you know, that's a liability.
Yeah.
So, I think she's tough. And I think what my initial sort of thought behind her, my first day of shooting, was that it's not, I think there but for the grace of God, Wanda would have been a prisoner. I think Wanda grew up tough. I think Wanda grew up having hard choices. I think she grew up where she had to put it together herself. She had to make her life. Nobody made it for her. I think she grew up not wealthy, and I think Wanda really pushed hard to get where she got, and she didn't make mistakes. And so, you know, of course, we all make mistakes, but I think in terms of making a life of crime versus trying to be a CO, I think that's where she went to try to say, you know, hey, I'm going to be on the right side of the law, and the law is where I'm going because it is the right thing. And I think that she made sacrifices in her life to get there. And that's really a key to where I wanted to go with her as a character, in saying that, you know, had she slipped up, she would have ended up in Litchfield Prison. And I think there's a part of her that knows that when she's with these prisoners. And I think that's a part of her that really feels like, wow, you know, how did you mess up? And I didn't mess up. And I didn't come from anything better than you. And then there's another part of her that I think goes, wow, these people are really people. And they did just mess up. You know, so that's sort of where I'm trying to go with her a little bit.
Now, where is this show filmed?
It's filmed in Orangeburg, New York, which is right at the Palisades Parkway. There is an old psychiatric sort of huge, massive, not grounds there that a lot of buildings were on. And we are in a psychiatric center that was used for children, which is a little stunning because Orange does nothing more to it than light it. So that was originally what you see of that, that place was originally where children who were, you know, challenged were kept, and it looks like a prison. So that's a question in my mind.
Yeah.
And then we also shoot in Queens at one of the studios out there, which is really cool.
So let me ask you about this Broadway show, Consent. How long are you playing in that?
It's off Broadway. It's going until the 28th. Please do come. It is some really challenging theater. I think it's some great theater. A lot of the TDFers are coming now, and I'm always so impressed by audiences, the way they hang in there and go for it as audience members. It's a difficult show. It is not for passive viewing. You know, it's dealing with a lot of a man deciding that, you know, he's gay and learning what that means. And it's not really a gay show necessarily. It's a show more about looking at your life and saying, well, who am I and what am I and what am I doing in my life? And it's a real awakening, and it's a great story. It's a love story. It's an amazing story. Not a love story in the sense of that he finds his true love. It's a love story in the sense of, you know, he finds connections with people that help him grow as a person. And learning to love oneself, that's what I mean when I say it's a love story. So it's an amazing play, and I hope you can come. It's definitely out of the box. It is very challenging for audiences, but it is an awesome show. So please do come, and you know, I think your viewers will be totally down on it. If you like Orange, I think you will really dig Consent.
All right, Catherine Curtin, thank you so much for your time. All the best with, well, season three is now streaming for Orange is the New Black, and I'm sure there'll be a season four in the not-too-distant future, right?
We're starting to shoot it. I was shooting yesterday.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks to all of the viewers out there. And if anybody wants to reach out for me, I'm at Kate Curtin, C-A-T-E-C-U-R-T-I-N, on Twitter. And give me your thoughts and ideas, and I will try so hard to get back to you. I'm not as good at Twitter as I should be, but I'm trying. I'm totally trying. So, and thank you so much for having me, and thanks for being viewers. And I'm so glad that this conversation that Orange is having is touching people. It's cool.
Well, terrific. As soon as I get off here, I will tweet you out.
Tweet. All right.
All right. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
With Catherine Curtin of Orange is the New Black, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. In a now famous case, dental assistant Melissa Nelson was fired for being too irresistible. Her boss decided that after 10 years of employment, Melissa posed a threat to his marriage. Is this a valid reason for dismissal? The married mother of two obviously sued for wrongful termination. How'd this case turn out? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
The Iowa Supreme Court ruled that the dentist was completely within his legal rights to fire his assistant in the best interest of his marriage. Strangely enough, they didn't see any sexual discrimination in this case. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What's the easiest way to teach your child a new around-the-house skill? After all, they want to do everything they see you do, so you might as well teach it right the first time. Here's the science of it.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson, and Western methods will put them to shame.
With teaching your child a new behavior, anything as simple as how to crack an egg or as complicated as calculus, use the procedure best parents use. It's also the one they use in medical school, and it's called the See One, Do One, Teach One technique. First, take the behavior you're attempting to teach and demonstrate it to your child. Now let the kid do one to the best of his abilities. Then let the kid do it again and teach you how to do it. So what's the cheap psychological trick? Kids want to learn and they want to learn from you. The See One, Do One, Teach One technique works and works for life. More info at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.